change, right, and the process. And
yes.
You were at the part of, I'm not clear whether you were, the LHAS was a part of the decision or were told the decision.
Oh, we were not a part at all. It mm-hmm. came as a thunderbolt. Mm-hmm. It came as an absolute thunderbolt. And when I say we, let me say that one of my very dear friends is a past president of LHAS, Beatrice mm-hmm. Lynch Beacon, mm-hmm. and has been a life trustee of the hospital board, and is on of the hospital board.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear. I'm expecting a long-distance call.
Go ahead.
Can you hold
yes,
that?
We'll hold.
We'll hold. My friend Beatrice Kahn, who's a life trustee, another past president, Ethel Feldman, on the board. Many of the women who have had board experience, mm-hmm. Marcella Feingold had been
yes.
on the board, though she hadn't been recently. Harriet Levinson hadn't been a president, but had been on the board. This came as a bolt out of the blue to all of us, a mm-hmm. bolt, absolutely. And the reality is that we felt that the board didn't know it either, that this was really done by a small group.
That's the impression.
That's more than the impression, that's the reality.
Mm-hmm. Because there's
and to set the record straight, Shirley,
mm-hmm.
we found out after the fact that Montefiore came to them, not the other way around.
Hmm.
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Montefiore came to them. What happened was that, well, you know of the very unfortunate period of time after Montefiore became a teaching institution, when I think that, again, a small group of people, the fact that it became part of a teaching institution certainly should have been a positive experience.
Yes. Yes.
Any fine hospital in any urban city that has had the opportunity has become part of the teaching and the university setup.
About when was that?
At this point, it has to be about 25, 26, 27 years ago.
All right.
And what am I saying? In the mid-60s.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mid-60s.
Okay. Yeah, that's about right. Now, that wasn't done, unfortunately, in the most positive, community-appropriate way. They went to the hospital like stepchildren. This is my phraseology, but it's also the thinking of many of my female friends who have been a part of this scene for so many years. They were so anxious for us to become identified and affiliated as a teaching hospital.
Who is they?
The lay leadership of the board of the Montefiore at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a man who led this thinking. His name was Dr. Cecil Sheps. Cecil
mm-hmm.
Sheps. Do you know who I mean?
No, I don't know.
All right. He was with the Graduate School of Public Health. He came from Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a very brilliant educator. He became friendly with some of the people who were in the leadership roles of hospital lay leadership,
mm-hmm.
and encouraged and promoted the concept of Montefiore, and of course by virtue of our location, and by virtue of the fact that we had a superior staff and
yes.
superior people and very many professionally certified people
mm-hmm.
in their fields, it was logical. This
mm-hmm.
was a very normal, logical process. But so anxious were they to become affiliated that they really gave up some of their autonomy and some of their equal rights. Let me say what I mean.
Hmm.
Every other hospital paid interns who worked out of the university there. Montefiore didn't. Montefiore interns didn't get the, I think this is right. Just a minute. I don't know about paid. Montefiore interns ate for free in the Montefiore cafeteria.
Nice.
Anywhere else they had to pay. A nuance. Montefiore doctors didn't, Presbyterian University doctors got the right to be on the staff. Montefiore didn't get that same right, Montefiore doctors, to be on the staff of the university. I'm telling you. No.
Mm-hmm.
On an individual basis, maybe, but not in the same way. The hat-in-hand philosophy almost prevailed in that original merger. And in the process, some of the clinicians, some of the doctors, who maybe weren't certified, who maybe had only general practice background, mm-hmm. and maybe didn't have the qualifications that the university got, they got a sense that they weren't welcome. You didn't know this, Rob?
No.
Oh, it's absolutely true.
Yeah.
It's absolutely
sure it is.
True.
I didn't
absolutely.
Know about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In addition to which, I don't know that they would get staff positions. I don't know that they got beds. I don't know that the atmosphere was as comfortable for them anymore. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, this whole
once the university affiliation
occurs.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, the whole thing with writing orders became a tremendous source of conflict. The physician himself could not write the order. He had to have it written by the intern, by the teaching staff. You don't know this? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He would write it, but it couldn't be followed or implemented until it was taken off his suggestions and written by a member of the teaching staff, the intern and the resident. Maybe this is routine now.
I was just going to say, was this a common practice where university was involved?
It was perhaps the practice that they felt was the way they would learn. I don't think they did it for negative motives.
Mm-hmm.
They did it for positive motivation, but it became enormously cumbersome. And in the process, the clinician was frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
If something had to be done today and that intern wasn't ready, or he worked 12, 15, 18 hours and he didn't see it, it didn't happen until the next day and the next day. And the conflicts became so prevalent between the clinician
mm-hmm.
and the hospital and the staff and the university that a group of men, as you know, decided to build their own hospital. And that's when Central Medical Pavilion was built.
Yes, a group of physicians.
A group of physicians. Mm-hmm. In addition to which, many physicians then began to reach out to other institutions. And the other institutions were happy to have them.
Mm-hmm.
Montefiore was always so, I laugh when I think, I'm going to digress, but surely you'll appreciate this.
Mm-hmm.
Were you here in the 40s and the 50s?
Yes.
All right. We used to have, at every board meeting of hospital aid, where Mr. Goldberg, the executive director, would speak, how can you help us with the visitor problem? Jewish families love to visit, and they love to visit in droves. That hospital was so noisy. That hospital was such a kochleffel. Do you know
mm-hmm.
what that expression
right.
is? It churned. It bustled. It was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Our biggest problem is to control visitors.
Mm-hmm.
I laughed when I'd go in over the years when it became so dead and so mm-hmm. quiet, and I'd say, you know, how the pendulum swings, full
right.
cycle. Oh, when we used to have the problem of controlling the noise. I wish we had the noise now as the bed capacity
mm-hmm.
dwindled and dwindled mm-hmm. and dwindled mm-hmm. so that the sale became
yes.
a beta company. You see? And I said, my God, we used to say, can you control the hours from 10 to 12 and 2 to 5 and can it be family only and this and that? Unbelievable that place was such a,
mm-hmm.
a hub,
yes.
such a bustling, busy place.
Mm-hmm.
And so it absolutely turned completely around. And
but what would make some of the lay leaders make a decision, since this was always known as the Jewish community hospital,
that's
even
right.
though everybody was accepted there,
that's right.
how could a few people go through without any questions
check,
from the community?
System
was,
of checks and balances.
Yes, yes.
Good question. I don't know. And I'll tell you something else. Federation wasn't in it.
And there were never letters to the editor of the Jewish Chronicle vis-a-vis this?
It was. The interesting thing is, let me talk to you about the Federation involvement, too, because
mm-hmm.
I think this is important
yes.
in a historical context.
Yes.
At one time, the community chest, which then became the United Way, gave money to Montefiore
yes.
Hospital. You knew that.
I remember that, yes.
gave money because Montefiore was doing such an outreach job and had such extensive outpatient clinic activity. My God, that whole building, which is the lower Fifth Avenue building, clinics, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Exactly.
My husband went faithfully one morning a week. Every one of the men and every doctor and the staff was enormous.
Mm-hmm.
Went and served on clinics. Just a part of their accepted routine.
Mm-hmm.
And Montefiore had the largest one in the city.
Yes.
No question. So when the community chest became, it also gave money to a few other hospitals, like the Keysport Hospital. It determined that that was not appropriate. I guess when third-party payments began to exist.
Okay.
And they realized, excuse me, she could be my daughter. She's really young. And she's now doing a strong arm in fundraising. I get calls every day from a half a dozen different organizations for background. She's been going, I've been going over lists with her. Who is this and what is the potential? I guess I should be flattered that these younger people will still do that because sometimes they think you're over the hill.
That's right.
I don't know if this is being taped.
Yes. No, that's all right. That was your phone call. Now let's get back to Montefiore.
Right.
Because there's so much questions. How could a few people
do so? Well, how could the board not have known?
Mm-hmm. Or the UJF, as you said.
Well, let me finish the UJF component.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they stopped getting money, and there were many strong givers and supporters of UJF who felt it wasn't appropriate either, that money that went to Montefiore every year was really a small pittance.
Mm-hmm.
It was token. It was, I remember the amount for the last 12, 15, 20 years from Federation, it's been like $235,000.
Mm-hmm.
And that was explained as the Jewish component. In other words, for those Jewish patients who were perhaps immigrants to the city. This is even before the Russian exodus and that mass law.
For the immigration.
Always for the immigration, as you know. It was also for maintaining maybe the kosher kitchen, though they would have done it anyway, but that's the only place where it was, the Mashiach and so forth. So that it, though it was a token, it was sort of a connecting link between the hospital and Federation. And in the ultimate, I think it was an appropriate thing, though it had great resentment from those people who felt that money should be going to local Jewish education and other priority needs in the community that were growing. So,
were there not also people on the board of Montefiore who were also on the board of UJF?
No question. The Federation did suggest and recommend membership to the board. And there was certainly a tie-in that way.
Mm-hmm.
That tie-in, in fact, got stronger, we thought. And that's why it's surprising. Now, want to hear a personal aspect of all this? I was on the board of the Montefiore ex officio, obviously, when I was in the presidency. The late Stanley Pam was the president. And if you'll forgive my vernacular, he used to call me Piss and Vinegar Gertrude. Because even then I was open in my comments and forthright. And we had a wonderful relationship, and he listened to me. If I made a suggestion, he listened. And certainly I was vocal. It's interesting that I was never, and I was probably one of the most visible presidents they had, visible in terms of the whole city. I was never invited to serve on that board.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
That's interesting.
And those women friends of mine who were invited were enormously frustrated and very, very frank about the fact that the board meetings were rubber stamped and that they didn't get facts.
But those were not said at the meeting, those were said privately.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Of course. And a lot of weak sisters were elected to the board who would keep their mouths shut. This talks to a fact that in volunteer work, To this day, though, the scene is supposed to have changed and improved, but I see examples of this to this day. Women who are open and assertive still aren't wanted by that blue-coated, domineering male contingent. Mm-hmm. And I'm not being paranoid about this. Mm-hmm. I spoke to a young woman today about something, and this came up. Absolutely. How she was embarrassed in public by somebody, innocently, but mm-hmm. by a leader,
yes.
a male leader. You know, there are some women on the national scene. There's Shoshana Carton, who talks about how women have to fight to be in the foreground of this
right.
land. It's a constant fight, and it's not much better, I kid you not,
mm-hmm.
than when they chose not to have someone who would ask too many embarrassing questions around.
So the checks and balances were
didn't
not
exist.
Operated.
They did not.
They
never, were not in place.
It's interesting that it never came to the fore until this sale that
eruption.
That Montefiore really didn't have any kind of checks and balances operating within their board. Was there, were you aware of verbal protest following the decision?
Oh,
because
yes.
there was nothing written. No
oh,
letters
yes.
to the editor.
Oh, yes, there was a lot behind the scenes. There were one or two, surely.
Yes, but on such a big issue where Montefiore has been the Jewish
yeah.
community
yeah.
hospital
yeah.
for so many years.
Yeah. yeah. You know what they came up with, this leadership? How lucky we were that we got the money for this. This is what they came up with. That in Chicago they're dying and they had to close. That in St. Louis they were in the poor slum, became the slum district, and they had to close. And then they even convinced some of our female leadership who went around the country that it's true that we were lucky that we got the $75 million. It was a steal for the university, a steal.
Mm-hmm.
When Paul and I drive by all that property, my
yes.
God, forget about all that's inside. Look at all the millions hospital aid poured into it. The first
right.
research laboratory, which was a five-year dance project, was funded by Ladies Hospital Aid
hmm.
Society. Research.
Right, which is tremendous. Yes.
So it was so painful. And I stood up at that first meeting where these men spoke, and I spoke for all the women. But what good one did it do? It was a fait accompli. It was a fait accompli.
What has been the lady hospital's aid, the effect upon
Well, a major effect. That's a very good question. A major effect. Did it leave us with the rug almost pulled out from under us? Yes. And did it, and is it still in transition? Yes. Still in transition. However, certain realities are occurring. First of all, the reality is occurring that the money that we raise in the hospital through the television sales and through the gift shop and through
mm-hmm.
the beauty
parlor, yes.
has to remain or go back to the hospital. It always did. You can't take that to the community outside. But we really believe we're the Jewish component of the university. There's nothing else that's the Jewish component, that's the Jewish conscience. What else is there? They never had an auxiliary of this strength in numbers, in leadership, in volunteerism. Never had anything like it. And they have frankly courted us. Very openly. They recognize our value. They are grateful for it. They think we're a tremendous force. They'd like us, of course, to extend and open up auxiliaries at every one of their institutions. But in the meantime, our volunteers are working everywhere. Our volunteers go anywhere in the university system. The leadership of the university, the physicians and the presidents and so forth, have been marvelous in their respect. But why not? What was our project this year? $250,000 to the Pittsburgh Cancer Institute
mm-hmm.
to be housed with Monitor, for which
yes.
our ball went? But last year, we had to... Now, let me talk about how short-sighted a city's leadership can sometimes be. Do you know how much resentment we had and antagonism with our project for the Jewish chaplain last year? You don't know?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh!
only read the positive of his
And it continues to be more positive, but we proved it. When the first year after the sale, when we're planning a ball, and that ball has become a prestigious event, it's the only large fete of its kind by the Jewish community. Mm-hmm. There used to be one by the Riverview Center Auxiliary,
yes.
And there used to be one by other organizations. Council used to have an angel ball. Those have all gone by the wayside. The only formal event of any significance, socially and otherwise, in the Jewish community is the Ladies' Hospital Aid Society Ball. And this takes a tremendous amount of leadership, organization, development, fundraising. Mm-hmm. Now, the university said we could have any project we chose for that. And they didn't even say it. We just said we are. Mm-hmm. Frankly, we really still make up our minds. We're still a very autonomous group of women, though our president sits on several of their committees and also sits on the Jewish Healthcare Foundation board, as do a couple of our vice presidents. There's representation to that. That was created before because they sat on the Montague board. And so the Healthcare Foundation moved over and became the Montague board. So there is that liaison. But we wanted a Jewish project. And the fact is that years ago, Rabbi Berkin, when he came to Pittsburgh, brought this to, I was then in the CRC, Chairmanship of Community Relations Committee, of which the Rabbinic Council is an arm at Federation. And I thought it was a marvelous concept. He and I thought it was a fabulous idea, a Jewish chaplain. And then you get this limited, short-sighted reaction from people who say, all the rabbis from the city go to this. If you don't need a chaplain, you've got them. And then you answer them and you say, do you realize how many people are unaffiliated? Do you realize how many families don't belong? You say that. Do you realize what a world-class institution in transplants the university has become? Do you realize how many Orthodox Jewish families come from Israel? You know this, and they have no place to turn to, and nobody for spiritual soccer, for physical and emotional support, unless it's the Jewish community. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, we never thought of that. Do you realize, well, he has been a wonderful presence. To the point where all the other hospitals want a Jewish chaplain. Well, look at the hospitals that have large numbers of Jewish patients now. Montefiore is no longer the majority of Jewish patients and hasn't been.
But are the funds that LHAS...
We pay his salary.
Yes. But the funds, for example, that you raise through the ball...
They go outside. We have...
Don't stay
it depends
only
on our... Exactly. Depends on our project. Now, how long that will remain, Shirley, I can't say. I very keenly feel... This year's project must be totally Jewish, and I don't care that not a penny goes back to the hospital, because plenty of money does go back, and should. You see, we have a strong... Now, let me tell you about some of the things we're doing, which you know. We're funding the domestic violence program at the Jewish Family and Children's Service. That's an outgrowth of a program that was done by three organizations in the city, National Council of Jewish Women, Hadassah, and Hospital Aid. Do you know how much domestic violence there is in the Orthodox Jewish community? It's incredibly, tragically so. And these women don't even have where to go with their children when they want to escape, because they can't go to a women's shelter where they can't maintain their kashrut.
Right.
And first of all, how many beds are available for that? And it's a shanda. With them, it's the greatest shanda, shame. Mm-hmm. So that they have to... Turn, where do they turn? So Hospital Aid is funding that program, which is growing in usage.
Yes.
Now that's not the hospital. Mm-hmm. Now we have a school scholarship program that I'm chairman of and have been. Scholarship continues. Tomorrow morning I'm going to the University of Pittsburgh to interview students on the undergraduate and graduate level for the scholarships from the Israel Heritage Room. I'm the chairman of that. Scholarship everywhere in the city. You know, the tie-in.
But that's LHAS.
No, that's Israel Heritage Room.
No.
You're going
as a representative.
Tomorrow? No, I'm going because I'm chairman of the Israel Heritage Room Scholarship. Let's go back.
Let's go back to
scholarship. Ladies' Hospital Aid reintroduced scholarships for those students who gave 100 hours or more as volunteers.
Very good.
Oh, we've been doing it for years. Mm-hmm. And now that program's interesting because now we have older Russian people who come in. I just got a packet of applicants. Mm-hmm. And we have part-time students. And this was always non-sectarian, as long as they contribute their 100 hours. Mm-hmm. The program has been small. We wanted to emphasize mostly those students who are going into medical or paramedical activities. But sometimes they change in midstream. They go in, they think they're going to be doctors or physical therapists, and they find it's not.
So that's separate from the scholarship fund that's set up at...
Totally separate. It's the Ladies' Hospital Aid Society scholarship. Yeah. Though we have a representative on the Central Scholarship.
Yes.
There's your umbrella. Yeah.
I see.
There's your umbrella. Mm-hmm. Right. But when we talk about funds from LHAS, these are funds for students.
Right. That's true.
And it's growing. It's growing.
Tell me, Gertrude, what do you see as the long-term effect upon LHAS having moved into the university setting? Mm-hmm. Montefiore name is
not
less and less
except
mentioned.
That we fight for it.
Yeah. Oh, I.
We fought when the telephone operators, we being the women of LHAS, when the telephone operators used to say University Medical Center, we scream bloody murder. Mm-hmm. They've changed. They now say Montefiore University. Also.
They do say that. But what do you foresee
we,
the
you
future
see,
of the organization?
Well, we're recognizing that it's not so kafirlich to be affiliated, not so terrible to be affiliated with a world-class medical institution. Mm-hmm. And this is more and more a world-class. This transplant.
But in terms of the kinds of activities that
well,
you carried on to
they
now.
Continue to be volunteerism. Mm-hmm. Oh, there are so many avenues. Now we have people working with cancer patients, volunteers. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh Cancer Institute, which decides to volunteer. Mm-hmm. We are reactivating our Committee for Service to the Blind, which became a little smaller and was in a state of transition because the chairman of it, the woman chairman who was very elderly and very ill, did not want to focus in on it. The Committee for Service to the Blind is still an out-hospital activity of strength. And
so
I think the
one?
Still one-to-one. Still one-to-one. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. A friend of mine does it every week with one of the men at, I think, at the Bureau of Vocational, at BVR, Bureau of Vocational Rehabilitation. And still taping, one-to-one and taping, still both. We see, hopefully, that we can continue to do the ball for an out-hospital Jewish project. Out-hospital Jewish. University has not put any, they really haven't restricted us.
What do you say is out-hospital? I'm not sure.
Oh! It could be... there's a right now, for instance, we have a proposal. We get a lot of proposals. Follow me home. The patient who leaves the hospital, the Jewish patient who leaves the hospital. Mm-hmm. That's our phrase, follow me home. It's a wonderful phrase. And it's good. Mm-hmm. The possibility of something with, we're waiting very, with literally with bated breath for the results of the Eucalyst study. You know about that.
No.
You don't? Oh, my goodness, Shirley. United Jewish Federation funded a study of all the geriatric needs and all the geriatric activities and institutions in the city of Pittsburgh. There is a consultant out of New York who's been hired. His name is Jack Eucalis, U-K-E-L-E-S, who has been working for almost a year now to examine. You know, Pittsburgh really has the second largest geriatric society in the Jewish community in the country,
right.
Second only to Miami. Mm-hmm. And other than the success of Forward Shady Housing and now the resurgence of Riverview Apartments, many middle and lower income Jewish families have no place to go. So we're talking bricks and mortar, but we're talking not only bricks and mortar, we're talking a lot of things here. Mm-hmm. And he was hired to do a comprehensive overview. And he's coming out with results that can affect Ladies' Hospital Aid.
In other words, something
the needs,
that would,
definitive needs to be answered.
For your activities.
Mm-hmm. We're very open in our conceptualization of the organization. In a sense, this has given us a strength. For a while, it gave us problems in membership, but I just worked on a telephone a few weeks ago. We have membership coming back. We don't have active membership to the extent, but no organization does.
It's the general difficulty. Mm-hmm. But do you see, just to
pull back
together, in view of the Montefiore being a part of University Presbyterian Hospitals, and is the closest to Montefiore, some kind of loss of LHAS?
Not so far.
Women's Auxiliary of Presbyterian.
They don't have one.
They don't have any.
They have none. Well, we are it.
Then does that mean that you would spread your services into Presby?
We don't know that we have that. We're spreading our volunteer services. We're working at Presby. We're working at Falk Clinic. We're working at Eye and Ear Institute. Mm-hmm. Our volunteers are working anywhere. The volunteer director was hired, who was Naomi Kaplan.
Yes.
Is the overall director. She's sending our volunteers everywhere and seems to be working out.
But in terms of Jewish patients, it is not going to be...
Oh, that's no longer an entity unto itself. But it never was in terms of our volunteers. It really never was. When the gift card goes into every room with a Jewish volunteer, the volunteers are primarily Jewish, but when the gift card goes into every room and the gift shop sells to every, you know, and the beauty parlor is going to be even more activist now because of the work with chemotherapy patients through the Cancer Institute, and is doing a tremendous job with wigs for us. Mm-hmm.